Hi guys, this is Liz. Welcome to Scariest Things Podcast. Tonight I am being joined by Max Booth III, who is the author of the upcoming latest release from Fangoria Presents called Carnivorous Lunar Activities. Hey Max, thank you so much for talking to me tonight.
Oh, hey, thank you. I am excited to be around. This is going to be fun.
Awesome. Well, I recently finished the book, and I'm going to say I really enjoyed it. I love the way you blended comedy and a lot of gore and a fair amount of dick jokes in perfectly spread throughout.
A good balance.
I thought it was really great. It was a great balance. I seriously enjoyed the book.
Oh, thank you. Imagine how it would be if we got on and you were like, well, I just want to let you know I hated the book.
Luckily, I did not. I really loved it. I've already recommended it to a couple people and hopefully awesome. They'll be pre-ordering that. So what got you into horror in the first place? Did you start as a kid,
yeah.
you know, reading and watching horror? What are your first horror memories?
I grew up with two old brethren and both of them loved the movies. So just as far as I can recollect, I grew up watching villains like Evil Dead and Phantasm. So it's always been in my blood.
Awesome.
And novel-wise, I would say I probably began with Goosebumps and just moved on from there.
Okay. I know my first ones that got me into it was the Christopher Pike books, like
yes,
Slumber Party and Chain Letter and Weekend. So
all those the cover art on those Christopher Pike books were amazing.
Yes. I love those. I love seeing the old ones. You know, they try to update the cover art for, I guess, today's teens, and it's just not the same as it was back in the late 80s.
I've seen some of those, and they look pathetic. Whoever has updated these covers should be in bills, like, ashamed.
I totally agree. So, what kind of other horror authors and movies influence your writing today?
I would say definitely Joe Lansdale, because he has a great way of blending all the genres and into his own special thing. And that's what I try to do the same. I try not to be restricted by one genre. I think it's best if you add a bit of comedy, some seriousness. And if you have all those going together, I think you get something kind of unique.
You definitely did blend all of those things in your most recent book. Very well. So kudos there. Goal achieved.
Yes.
So speaking of the recent book, why werewolves? That's, you know, I think we've been inundated with zombies lately. And before that, it was really vampires. But what made you think werewolves for what you wanted to write about this time?
You know, it wasn't like a conscious thought, like, you know what, I'm going to write a book about a wolfman now. I've just always been a fan of the genre. I had recently read Stephen Graham Jones's novel Mongrels, excellent. And maybe it made me Jones to write something like that myself. And at the time, I just wanted to write a book that was one long conversation, and I needed to think of a way to keep them in the same room. And one thing just led to another. So when I began to write it, I didn't know he was gonna be a I didn't know that was going to be the plot. I just knew I wanted them to be locked in the same room, and I wanted one guy to be convincing the other guy to shoot him.
That's hilarious. And it just turned out that he's going to convince him also, like, you have to shoot me because I'm a werewolf. I loved it. And I really liked the conversation. When I was reading the book, I could totally picture these two guys in my mind. And I loved, like, the conversational nature of most of it. And it was hilarious and super. The speech pattern was really natural, where I think in some books, when they're trying to do that, you're like, no one talks like that. People talk like that all the time. That's what I talk like with my friends, and their sense of humor really resonated with me. I thought they were hilarious.
That's great. I mean, dialogue is pretty much the main structure of the novel. So if that failed, I would be screwed, I think. I actually wrote the dialogue before I wrote anything else. I just wrote it as like a long conversation, and I went back and added the rest.
Oh, that's cool. Is there anything else, like, in your writing process that, you know, you would call maybe a quirk or anything that you do? What do you do when you're setting out to write something new and you just have an idea that pops into your head?
Usually I'll just begin it immediately, even if I have a different project I'm working on, which is not something I recommend, but my brain seems to just derail constantly. With this specific book, I wrote it while doing the night shift at a hotel. And at the time, I happened to be training someone who happens to be named Justin. And him and I got along pretty well. We tended to get drunk a lot on all shifts. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't know.
Send this to your boss. Don't worry.
We would drink. We would also bring his laptop down because he happened to be living at the hotel at the time. And he would play some online game, and he would constantly just have like these rage attacks and just yell at the laptop. And while he was doing that, I was just writing this book. And I don't know, there's something about that environment that just helped create these two old friends who will just shoot in the shit while also having this impending doom looming over them.
And I guess you can thank your coworker, Justin, for a lot of inspiration. That worked out really well for you.
I do mention him in the acknowledgments.
Okay, good. So working in a hotel and working the night shift, you must get a lot of ideas for horror stories. I think that sounds like the beginning of a horror story or a horror movie in itself. You know, it sounds extra creepy.
It is. A few days ago, I'm driving to the hotel and it's extremely foggy outside. And I drive up to the building and the fog is so strong, I can't see anything at all. So I get out and I'm walking through this fog, and eventually I reach the entrance. But until then, it was basically the mist.
And you're like, is the building there? I don't know. Just keep walking until you find it.
Yeah, but I'm the only employee at the hotel at night, unless I'm training somebody. And we also don't have cameras, so it's just me in a building right off the highway from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. And it can be terrifying. Last week, this guy doing a night shift at a hotel down the street from mine, he received a noise complaint outside, and he walked outside to all these people standing in the parking lot, and they shot him in the face.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
The night shift at a hotel is not something I would recommend.
Yeah, no wonder you're a horror writer and a horror fan. So as I said in the little intro, you are going to be released. This book is going to be released by Fangoria Presents, which is Fangoria Magazine's new publishing imprint. What's it been like working with that team?
Oh, excellent. I mean, I grew up reading Fangoria, and to find out that A, they're coming back with a new ownership, and B, that they want to publish my novel, it's been almost like a dream that I haven't woken up from yet. The whole staff at Fangoria and the company who owns Fangoria, Cinestate, they've been nothing but amazing. I mean, every day we're bouncing emails back and forth. And they live up in Dallas, which is like a 5-hour drive from me. I haven't met them yet, but I'm going to meet them next month. But I mean, they've all just been great. They all have excellent ideas for advertising and just like designs and editing. Everything's been great. I have no complaints at all.
That's awesome. It seems like the group that I've worked with a little bit over there are all just as excited as we, the fans, are to have Fangoria back in print and are making some awesome things happen. So
yeah,
that's great to hear.
Fantastic. Have you read the new, yeah, new issue yet?
I just got the new one, I think, last week. So I kind of sparingly read a few pages each day, an article here, an article there, to make it last longer. But I love it. It's great.
You're stronger than I am. I took it to the hotel with me and read the whole thing in one sitting.
It's great. And they have a great excerpt from your book in it.
They do. That was shocking to see. It wasn't shocking because I knew it was going to be in, but still to open it up and see my name on the contributor list, it was, it's like, whoa.
Yep, you're in Fangoria now. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So for horror novels, I know, you know, you just wrote one that's kind of a werewolf comedy novel, but do you see horror novels recently and what's coming out kind of reflecting the anxiety and moods of living in America today? Is anything in Justin and Teddy kind of a reaction to what we're living in? I know they do have a few Trump jokes in there, but what do you think horror's reaction is to kind of the horror that we're living every day?
I don't know if this new book of mine is much of a reaction to it, but I would point you in the direction of a new book that just came out called Coyote Songs by Gabino Iglesias. And
it is on my list.
I mean, that more than any other book that's come out since he was elected is the best interpretation of how America has reacted. It bounces back and forth between the Mexico and the U.S. border, mm-hmm. Covering different characters. One is an actual coyote, and one is the ghost of a mom who happens to suffocate in a coyote's truck. One is a woman pregnant with an alien creature. I mean, these aren't spoilers. Gosh. These are just like the opening premise of each point of view. I mean, it's just, I don't want to say much else because it's not that long of a novel. It's like maybe almost 200 pages, but not even. And I would recommend that one specifically. Trying to just reflect the time we live in, but I have no updates about it at the moment. It has a lot to do with police corruption.
Oh, all right. Definitely keep us posted on that. And Coyote Songs is on my short list. The cover of that novel is beautiful. I love it.
Gambino writes amazing books, and everybody should be reading him. He lives up in Austin, and once in a while we hang out. He's a great dude.
Great. So piggybacking a little bit on what you just said. So what's next for you? You're working on something now, police corruption. What else have you got going on?
So that book is done and submitting it to places at this point. So it's just a waiting game. Doing a new book now. It's kind of a crime novel about someone who's addicted to pornography and obsession.
Cool.
And I also do a publishing company. It's called Perpetual Motion Machine. And this year we have a few new titles coming out. We have Michael David Wilson's new novella, The Girl in the Video. We have a pizza-themed anthology called Tales from the Crust.
That's awesome. I love that title.
That's coming out in August. So that should be good. It's an odd book. It's really odd.
Well, there was just a pizza-themed horror movie, Slice, so maybe it's like the year of pizza.
Not only that, but Fangoria has a pizza-themed movie coming out, too, called Satanic Panic. It's about
with Grady Hendrix doing the screenplay. I didn't know it was pizza-centric.
She's a pizza delivery driver who gets mixed up in a satanic cult, I think.
Sounds good to me. I'm on board for anything Fangoria and Cinestate and Grady Hendrix are doing and put them all together. Yes.
I know what's going on. All these things happen at once.
That's awesome. So lastly for you, where can our listeners find you online? You said you run a publishing company called Perpetual Motion Machine.
Yeah. And the website is perpetualpublishing.com. My own website is talesfromthebooth.com. And nice. I also tweet at Give Me Your Teeth.
That makes me think of a Syphil and Ollie skit where it's, I'm the tooth fairy and I came for your teeth, but it's little tiny puppets saying it. And it's horrifying yet adorable at the same time.
Puppets will always terrifying, yes. I think.
I agree 100%. So something we always like to do on Scariest Things is when we do our episodes, we always have a fearsome foursome for whatever topic we're talking about. Okay. Do you have your top four horror movies from 2018?
2018, okay. I'm trying to think if they came out in 2018.
I'll let you go with like anything recent. What's your top four that you've been watching and loving lately?
Yeah, okay. Did Get Out come in 2018 or was that 2017?
No, I think it might have been the very end, but it won an award in 2018, we're calling it 2018.
We'll say Get Out. Hereditary was great.
Yes.
Cam, I loved.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, and I was a big fan of the Suspiria remake.
Ah, people are very divided on that.
You know,
I put it on my top 10 list of the year because I don't know if I loved it, but I can't stop thinking about it. So that has to count for something.
I saw the U.S. premiere at Fantastic Fest. Was present, and that's the only time I've seen it, and it was an amazing experience. I would also add Annihilation, but that might be
fine. No, that's all right. We'll let you put that in there. Awesome. Well, Max, thank you so much for talking with us, and everybody who's listening, make sure you pre-order right now Carnivorous Lunar Activities, because it's being released on February 22nd from Fangoria Presents. Thank you so much, Max.
You have a great day.
You too.